Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
It's shortly before 1:30 p.m. on May 12th, 2008, when a faint vibration shoots through the ground and temporarily interrupts the afternoon rush in the Chinese metropolis of Shanghai. After 2 long minutes, the vibrations subside. In the financial district, several skyscrapers are evacuated as a safety precaution. But apart from that, life quickly returns to normal. Shanghai can breathe a sigh of relief. 170 miles to the west, however, in the province of Sichuan, residents aren't as fortunate. The earthquake, whose tremors are felt throughout the entire country, is one of the most powerful in modern history, and its epicenter is in Sichuan. In cities throughout the province, the warm afternoon air is filled with a deafening roar. When the initial tremor subsides, the noise is replaced by car alarms and panicked screams. In the chaos that ensues, no one notices that a particular type of building seems to have been hit especially hard by the quake, that a disproportionately large number of the collapsed buildings are schools.
Is Mayday, a show about disasters and accidents. In this episode, we tell you about the 2008 Sichuan school disaster, an earthquake that led to an unknown number of deaths and exposed a scandal. The hosts of this episode are Luke Welland and me, Maya Nalani. The picturesque Sichuan province is located in the southwestern part of China. For outsiders, the region is perhaps best known for its giant pandas and spicy cuisine. But it also boasts vast nature reserves and Buddhist monasteries dating back as far as the 6th century AD. After China's civil war that lasted from 1929 to 1949, there was a period of peace, and the population began growing exponentially. A baby boom led to a surge in demand for schools, and cities across the country expanded rapidly. However, speed and quality don't usually go hand in hand.
Throughout history, China has grappled with both earthquakes and poverty. a combination that would prove to have devastating consequences in the spring of 2008. According to official reports, the region's primary and middle schools are built to withstand the strong earthquakes that are known to occasionally hit the area. But these reports will be proven wrong in the worst way imaginable.
Thirteen years earlier, in 1995, the newly appointed principal of Sangzhou Middle School, Ye Zeping, is taking his daily walk around the school grounds. He could easily be mistaken for a janitor, with his rough hands and practical attire. The portly 42-year-old looks like a man who gets things done. Spring is just around the corner in Sichuan Province, and the milder weather allows Principal Ye Zeping to make his daily walks a little longer. But what should be a pleasant break from sitting at his desk has inspired new concerns. Because ever since Ye Zeping started his new job, he's noticed flaws in the school's facilities. Now it seems like they're cropping up everywhere, and he's beginning to get worried.
In 2004, there's a one-child policy in China, a form of state-mandated family planning designed to curb population growth. Parents whose first child is a girl may, in some cases, be allowed to have a second child. That being said, a significant portion of students in Sichuan Province have no siblings. Given the intense competition for jobs and university spots in the country, a solid elementary education is incredibly important. The young are often expected to support the family when their parents become too old to work. So education is pivotal, not only for the children, but for the future of the entire family. In 1976, China is hit by one of the deadliest earthquakes in its modern history. 250,000 people lose their lives, and millions are left homeless. After this, the state guidelines and laws are updated to make sure buildings around the country can better resist earthquakes of similar magnitude.
At Sangzhou Middle School, education takes place in two sun-bleached four-story buildings. Despite being constructed after the 1976 earthquake, it appears that the new state guidelines were overlooked. Balcony railings are dangerously low, cement pillars are slender, and walls are uneven. Clear signs of shoddy construction. In addition to providing students with good prospects for the future, Principal Ye Zeping must also ensure that the school's facilities constitute a safe environment. It's a big responsibility that rests squarely on the principal's shoulders. Moreover, the school budget in Sichuan is tight, and there's rarely any extra money for the kinds of renovations that would be needed to make the Sangzhou Middle School safe. However, fueled by his growing concerns, Principal Ye Zeping decides to take matters into his own hands. He becomes a frequent visitor to various government offices, repeatedly applying for grants. He also organizes several local fundraisers. In total, he manages to raise the equivalent of $60,000, enough to carry out a thorough renovation of the Sangzhou Middle School. They reinforce the cement pillars of the buildings, secure the floors, and refurbish the balconies. The principal also makes sure that teachers and students are trained in how to react if an earthquake were to strike. Training that would soon prove painfully necessary.
In the early morning of May 12, 2008, four little feet are making their way to school. The light pattering comes from 10-year-old Xiao Yao and her brother, 2 years younger, who, as usual, is a few yards ahead of her on their way to junior middle school. The little gravel that remains on the ground after winter scatters in all directions under the young boy's colorful shoes. Summer is almost here, and Xiao Yao, who is about to finish fourth grade, looks forward to spending more time with her family during the break. Once they reach the schoolyard, the siblings wave goodbye. Xiao Yao watches as her younger brother joins some classmates and disappears into one of the buildings. Then she glances at the sun-bleached clock hanging on the school's main building and heads to her first lesson of the day. Unlike Principal Ye Jiping's renovated Sangzhou Middle School, Xiao Yao and her younger brother's school has not been renovated since it was built in the 1980s, a common situation in the majority of Sichuan Province's schools. If the ground was to start shaking, the buildings would not be able to withstand the impact.
It's 2 in the afternoon when familiar chimes ring out across Sichuan Province. The sound comes from the region's elementary schools and signals the end of the 2-hour lunch break. All around the province, throngs of students fill the worn-out hallways. The commotion of lockers being opened and closed mingles with the cheerful voices and laughter as pencil cases are stacked on top of books and notepads. After a few hectic minutes, the children have disappeared into their classes, and once again, calm spreads through the classrooms of Sichuan Province. Classrooms that will soon be transformed into nightmarish death traps.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
In the city of Mianzhu, in northeastern Sichuan, 23-year-old dance teacher Liao Ji looks out the window of her three-story building. The afternoon sun has started to filter into the apartment, and with a soft yawn, she ties her black, shoulder-length hair into a ponytail. In the room next to her, her 10-month-old daughter is napping. In an armchair next to the crib, her mother-in-law has also dozed off with a book in her lap. It's almost 2:30 in the afternoon, and Liao Ji stretches her slender but well-toned arms. She enjoys the tranquility while mentally reviewing the class she'll be teaching later in the day. Without warning, the silence is shattered by an ominous rumble. Within seconds, everything around dance teacher Liao Ji is shaking. Before she can react, the entire three-story building that she, her daughter, and her mother-in-law are in collapses with a horrifying crash.
When the earthquake hits, Principal Ye Zeping is at a meeting in a neighboring town, 45 minutes from Sangzhou Middle School. The unusually strong tremors make him anxious, and he rushes out to his car with a colleague trailing behind him. Ye Zeping is getting more and more alarmed with each collapsed building they pass. Through the car window, he and his colleague can hear the cries of people trapped under the rubble. Horrifying images flash before his eyes, visions of what may have happened to his students and staff.
At Xiao Yao and her younger brother's school, everything happens very quickly. Someone shouts, "Earthquake, run!" And teachers start pushing their students out of the classrooms, desperately trying to get them to safety. But only a few make it all the way to the schoolyard. Those who do are forced to witness their classmates and teachers being buried alive as two of the school's five-story buildings plummet down on top of them, roofs and walls collapsing like a house of cards. Out of the school's 2,900 students and teachers, only about 200 managed to reach the designated emergency gathering point by the playground in the middle of the schoolyard. Big sister, Xiao Yao, is one of them. Now she sits huddled next to the other frightened students, awaiting instructions from the adults. But since only a few teachers have managed to escape the rubble, they can do little more than try to count and reassure the children while waiting for help to arrive. Big sister, Xiao Yao, remains in the playground, surrounded by dust, chaos, and desperate cries from inside the school buildings.
Despite the chaos throughout Sichuan province, Principal Ye Zeping and his colleague eventually manage to reach Sangzhou Middle School. They throw open the car doors and rush toward the school's basketball court, the designated gathering point for students in emergencies. What Principal Ye Zeping sees brings him to his knees, and tears start to trickle down his rough cheeks. On the basketball court in front of him, his students are gathered by class, each with their respective teacher, just as they had practiced. They're shaken up, but they wave and smile timidly when they see the principal. He can hardly believe his ears when one of the teachers shouts that everyone is unharmed. Several parents have also made it to the school and are embracing their children in bloody, dusty clothes. Principal Ye Zeping does the same.
At Xiao Yao and her younger brother's school, parents and neighbors have arrived to help the traumatized students. While hundreds of injured and deceased are being dug out from underneath the rubble, the surviving students wander around the schoolyard with vacant stares, looking for their friends. Xiao Yao feels a gentle tap on her back. It's a classmate, telling her that some of the adults have found her younger brother and points to a small figure lying further away on the schoolyard. Xiao Yao immediately recognizes her brother's colorful shoes. When she gets to him, he is pale but still breathing. A teacher attempts to perform CPR on the young boy, but before long, blood starts seeping from his nose and mouth. Big sister Xiao Yao grabs her brother's hand and whispers, "Don't sleep. You mustn't sleep. Wake up, please." She feels her brother's hand getting colder. Xiao Yao rubs it frantically, but it doesn't help. A doctor squats down to check the boy's pulse. Then he utters three words that will echo in Xiao Yao's memory for the rest of her life. "We lost him."
In just a few seconds, dance teacher Liao Ji and the others who were in the apartment are buried under tons of debris. She's fortunate enough to end up in a small space that forms between the pieces of rubble. When the initial shock subsides, Liao Ji realizes that both of her legs are pinned under a large concrete pillar. The pain is blinding. But all she can do is wait and hope that someone will find her. Slowly but surely, she starts to lose her sense of time. Her legs are pulsating with pain, and the anguish intensifies with each wave shooting through her body. She has no idea how long she's been stuck for. But then she hears muffled cries through the rubble. It's a group of relief workers frantically searching for survivors. Liao Ji makes an effort to respond, but the pain in her legs has drained her so much that she can't manage to make a single sound. The minutes pass, and Liao Ji begins to lose hope of ever getting out.
One minute and 36 seconds. That's all the time Song Zhao Middle School's 2,323 students and teachers needed to evacuate and line up on the basketball court outside. After a thorough headcount, it's confirmed that all the students made it out without a scratch. This is largely thanks to their principal, Ye Jiaping. Just 3 miles north of Song Zhao Middle School, over 1,000 students are buried when their school collapses on them. A horrifying but clear sign that Ye Jiaping's hard work had not been in vain.
Dance teacher Liao Ji suddenly hears a familiar voice. It's her father. The voice is hoarser than usual, but it's undoubtedly him. Her father's presence gives Liao Ji the strength she needs. She takes as deep a breath as her body will let her and calls out her father's name. Slowly, the exhausted voices of the rescuers get closer, and Liao Ji can see light beginning to seep through the cracks in the concrete blocks. After 30 long hours, she's finally rescued from underneath the rubble.
The earthquake not only causes buildings to collapse, but also results in a record number of landslides, further complicating the already strained rescue efforts. Vital roads and bridges are damaged, forcing ambulances and fire trucks to take long detours to reach their destinations. The earthquake also moves massive amounts of earth, rocks, and vegetation into the province's rivers. When the water is blocked, so-called quake lakes, or natural water reservoirs, are formed. If the water pressure becomes too high and the dams burst, it could pose a huge danger to people living downstream. To avoid risking more lives, hundreds of thousands of people are forced to leave their homes until the danger is over. Several radio towers are also damaged in the quake, making communication between rescue workers more difficult. To make matters even worse, several hospitals are so severely damaged that they are deemed unsafe to use. Temporary tents are set up and medical personnel are forced to work outdoors, which, in addition to the intense heat, increases the risk of infection. The dire situation makes headlines around the world, and neighboring countries soon send donations and aid workers to China. Through their collective efforts, order is eventually restored in Sichuan province, but the wounds will take a long time to heal.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
In the years following the 2008 earthquake, the diligent principal Ye Zeping continues his hard work to create a secure future for his students. However, his story comes to an abrupt end when he suffers a cerebral hemorrhage in June 2011. The 57-year-old principal falls into a coma and passes away shortly thereafter, a result of prolonged stress. He is remembered as the Angel of Sichuan, or Angel Ye. In an interview with Beijing Radio 3 years before his death, Ye Zeping summarized his extensive work in two sentences. Quote, "Parents have entrusted us with their children. We cannot let them down." Dance teacher Liao Ji was the only one in her building who made it out alive. Her 10-month-old daughter and her stepmother both lost their lives when the building fell apart. Moreover, Liao Ji's legs are so badly injured that they need to be amputated. The period after the tragedy is filled with darkness, but there is also hope. Dance, which was Liao Ji's livelihood and passion for so many years, should perhaps feel impossible. But something within Liao Ji compels her to carry on. And so, she begins practicing a new choreography, with bandages still wrapped around her amputated legs. Just a few months after the accident, Liao Ji performs at a gala held to honor the victims of the earthquake. And despite the bandages being stained with blood, she manages to complete the entire routine. The performance touches the hearts of millions of people around the world and gives Liao Ji a newfound sense of vitality.
The 2008 disaster highlights the disparities between those living in China's major cities and those in impoverished rural areas. In Yunnan, one of Sichuan's neighboring provinces, numerous school buildings are demolished shortly after the catastrophe. No one wants to risk the same thing happening there. When the Chinese government eventually publishes the official number of deaths and missing persons after the earthquake, it's met with skepticism and frustration, both in China and worldwide. According to the Chinese government, 87,000 people are reported to have died, 370,000 as having been injured, and around 5 million were left homeless. Among the deceased, 5,335 were children, most of whom perished when their schools collapsed on them. The number of child casualties has been a subject of heated debate ever since, with parents and human rights activists arguing that the official numbers are significantly understated. According to them, the the true number is closer to 20,000 children. But not everyone attributes the disaster solely to the Chinese government. In an interview with CNN, Tom Foulkes, the Director General of Britain's Institute of Civil Engineers, had the following to say about why the schools collapsed. Quote, "The scenes following the earthquake suggest that building regulations were overlooked during the rapid urbanization of the region." He believes that the tragedy cannot be explained by corruption alone. Rather, he suspects that those who built the houses financed them themselves and simply could not afford to pay for the best materials and the latest design.
It is challenging to get exact numbers, as the Chinese state controls the media and critics risk fines or even imprisonment. Despite the debate about death tolls, everyone seems to agree on one thing. Poorly constructed schools were a significant factor as to why so many lost their lives. A total of 7,000 school buildings collapsed, while other types of structures remained more or less undamaged. A grim statistic that not even the Chinese state can dismiss. This has been Mayday, about the Sichuan school disaster. The hosts of this episode were Luke Welland and me, Maya Nalani. The script was written by Matthias Johnson, sound engineer Victor Pearson. Mayday is made by the podcast company Cast.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.